What's going on, everybody? Welcome into the Monday, April 15th, 2024 edition of the Daily Energy Newsbeat Stand Up. Here are today's top headlines. First up, wind farms are useless. That's according to the Duke of Edinburgh. Absolutely hilarious. Next up, investors bet further rise in U.S. gas prices. As always, the consumer takes it in the drive-thru. Next up, EVs head for junkyard as mechanic shortage inflates repair costs. Talk about second order effect there. Next up, the largest renewable energy project in history fails. If only desert is left and we have lost $2 billion, a little stew import in there at the end, but I absolutely love it. A pretty crazy story out of California. And then finally, water scarcity and clean energy collide in South Texas. Stu will then toss over to me. I will quickly cover what happened in the oil and gas markets this weekend. A lot of crazy stuff going on with the Iranian drone attack on Israel that was effective, that wasn't effective, where prices are going to open here in a bit as we record Sunday afternoon. Not quite sure, but all I know is it's going to be a crazy, crazy Monday as you listen to this. We also saw rig counts drop on Friday. Interesting ruling from the Biden administration raising the amount of royalties and leasing costs for wells drilled on federal land. And then finally, a really interesting Reuters note that actually dropped on Thursday, but didn't get enough coverage as I thought it would. Abu Dhabi National Oil Company considered acquiring BP following major purchases by Exxon and Chevron. We will dive into all that and a bag of chips, guys. As always, I am Michael Tanner, joined by Stuart Turley, who is back off assignment. Excited to have you back. Where should we lead off?
Hey, let's set up with our buddy with the Duke of Edinburgh, man. Wind farms are useless, says the Duke of Edinburgh. I did not see this one coming out of the closet. No, the Duke of Edinburgh has made a fierce attack on wind farms, describing them as absolutely useless. Michael, there's some quotes in here that are nuggets. When Esbjørn Wilmar of Invenergy, which builds and operates gas turbines, introduced himself to the Duke at a reception in London, he found himself on the wrong end of a outspoken attack, quote unquote. Let's listen to this. He said they were absolutely useless, completely reliant on subsidies, and an absolute disgrace. He said, I was surprised by his frank views. Holy smokes.
What's funny is you consider the British monarchy as somebody who's going to kind of toe the political
line
per se. They're not necessarily going to go out on a limb and be making all of these quote unquote crazy accusations like they did now. You're right. I did not expect this. And he went all in on this just offhand. He said this with an interview in the Sunday Telegraph.
Oh, yeah. And so they're prominent. And he also goes in here and goes, Prince Philip, however, said he would never consider allowing his land to be used for turbines, which can be up to 410. And he also bemoaned their impact on the countryside. He said the journalist said, basically, I suggested to him to put him on his estate and then you can stay away from the estate, young man. Holy smokes. What a jerk. No wonder the Duke went nuts. I think the Duke had been hanging around the picture of John Wayne, the Duke over my shoulder. That sounds like a John Wayne kind of quote.
Yeah, I won't say anything in fear of getting us banned. Let's move next.
Oh, no, I loved it. But anyway, I loved his quotes. Shout out and positive to the Duke. All right. Investors bet on further rise in the U.S. gasoline prices. This was a great article, and I got to go look where it came from. It was an absolute great one.
Reuters,
but Zero. I got it off of our feed, off of Zero Ed. And fund managers are betting heavily that gasoline prices will rise further throughout the remainder of the year. Inflation-adjusted prices have risen from a recent low of $3.22 in January, but are still below the recent highs of $5.42 in June. But we are coming in into the high end of the season, and they have some really good thing on inventory. Inventories are at a 5 million barrels, down 2%, giving a take 0.5% below the prior 10-year season average. So, and we have refineries coming offline. So when you take a look at downstream and refining, these numbers, this article was fabulous.
Yeah, we love ourselves some good John Kemp. I love this chart here that he created here. Ms. Producer, if you don't want to, if you can throw this up, this is gasoline supplied to U.S. domestic markets and export 1990 to 2024. This is a million per day. These are a million barrels per day, an annual average. You can see the split between domestic sales and exports. You know, things have been trending upward. COVID hits, we see a big drop. And now that same trend has continued to pick back up. So the point of, I think, what this chart and what John Kemp is showing in this article is that as we get farther and farther away from COVID, we're going to continue to see gasoline supply to the U.S. domestic markets continue to rise, which means fuel stocks, Stu, as you mentioned, are going to continue to be hampered if we do not keep them up. We've been selling the SPR. We're now selling fuel stocks. You know, this comes down to almost a national security issue, in my opinion.
Well, I want to go to a shout out to the EIA for getting caught again. They really got busted here this past week for putting out fictitious numbers again. So and then the Biden administration got caught again on their jobs numbers. You and I kind of talked a little bit about it. But in those job numbers, 70,000 of those numbers were government jobs. And then the lion's share of the part time job, almost 70% of the jobs, were to illegal aliens. So the Biden administration has really gotten in trouble for numbers.
Yep.
So let's go to the next one here. Michael, this is an absolute hoot. EVs head for junkyard as mechanic shortage inflates repair costs. Holy smokes, Batman. There's some nuggets in this article, Michael. And that is, I'm about to break my arm. For the podcast listeners, I can't even pull my hand up over my shoulder. I'm so sore from working in the garden. But I am patting myself on the back as best I can, because this article says insurance companies are driving the price of EVs through the roof. And I think that it's not going to be the government. It's not going to be demand. It's going to be the insurance companies that are going to take them out. Let's go through some of these numbers here. Fewer than 10% of the UK's 236 auto mechanics are qualified to work directly on the EV batteries or their cases. While many technicians can perform less demanding tasks, the most challenging repairs require extra training. And Michael, the batteries, you get a crack, a little water on one, and they become a fire hazard.
I love this. A trainer, this is a quote from Darren Noddington. He's an AA trainer, not Alcoholics Anonymous, but another type. He says, quote, "It's instant death on these systems."
Oh, yeah. I do want to give a shout out to my father-in-law. He was in West Texas this past week, and there are no chargers. He had to park his car, walk a mile and a half back to the, to the hotel, and then go back a mile and a half. He didn't have a Uber and didn't have anybody around. And so, you know, if you're 2-3 miles away from and he's 85, you know, and he loves his Tesla, but
no, Teslas are cool. I think it's interesting, Ms. Producer, if you don't mind throwing up this chart here. It looks like it's from Bloomberg. UK sales of battery electric cars have gone stagnant. You see, no one's buying them anymore.
No, they can't.
And that big spike in December of 2022, is that tax incentives? Does that weave in some tax incentives that they're trying to wheeze out in the UK before the end of the year?
Yep. And now tax incentives, because of the Biden administration and the way they've been defining in a moving target on tax incentives, A, you got to make X number of dollars, which eliminates most of the middle class now. And then most of the cars may or may not have gotten much of a tax deduction. I covered a little bit of that earlier, and it It's crazy how stupid they are. They want to sell these things. And then China, let me just say this about China. China is dumping all of their inventories and they're building fabs in Europe. They're building a fab in Mexico and they're going to be, excuse me, whore dogging like a son of a gun. This is a family show, but whore dogging we can say, right? So they're going to be really moving those things out like people on the street.
Well, I mean, they're able to produce a quality piece of equipment, theoretically, at a lower cost on the market. People are going to flock to it. If you do want to get into the EV business, you're either buying a Tesla or you're buying a Chinese made product. There's really no in between. That's really what it's come down to at this point.
And I believe in Elon and I believe in the Teslas. And I think that they're great for those people that can afford them. Anyway, let's get rumbling on down the road here. Largest renewable energy project fails. Only the desert is left and we've lost $2 billion. The second order of magnitude of this failed event of these solar panels, Michael, is holy smokes, Batman. There's a bunch of trash out there and I bet nobody cleans it up. Aliens are going to do some archaeological digging on this and go, let's see, pyramids, solar panels, what happened between that? A renewable energy project that promised to change history failed. Loss of $2 billion, and it was because in Morocco, 2 billion 800 megawatt Normeld power plant was scheduled to start operating, but construction has not even begun. They've still got a lot of solar panels out there right now, not even getting into the main areas. Renewable project due to internal problems. They couldn't even attach it to the grid in the main area. There is more of a liability. Listen to this. Nor-Croisette helped Morocco on the world map for large-scale renewable energy projects, but took a closer look at operating costs and maintenance issues show that the plant is more of a liability.
I mean, you know, this just sounded like something that was going on in California, so I apologize for shaming them in the intro. But what this shows is that even around the world, the grid isn't ready for this type of stuff. It's not just the U.S. Covered this in my solo show last week. There's some things that we can do here at home to increase the grid, but we're unwilling to do that. They're not even willing to do that overseas. So if you can't in places like, you know, places like Morocco, there's less red tape than the United States. Somebody wants a solar farm build, you know the right people. Oh, you'll get that approved. So the fact that they can't get it approved with zero red tape means nobody's getting.
Oh, absolutely. But you know, you sit back and take a look, Michael, with my new experience of putting in backup generators, solar, wind, and everything else, I've enjoyed learning and there is applications for solar. I don't want to dog 100% of solar, but it's a different beast.
For when the Iranian drones make it over the U.S., that's when solar comes into play.
Speaking of that, hey, our hearts and prayers go out to everybody in Israel, and they got attacked this weekend, and I am so thrilled that the Iron Dome was able to hold off that horrible thing. But, Michael, I got tickled at the head of the Iranian, the Ayatollah, I guess, or whatever his name is, he goes, okay, we're done. I'm like, what?
Yeah.
I'm happy that they're done.
Hey, I just don't want to get drafted. What's up? No. What's next?
I don't want you drafted either. That would stink. Water scarcity and clean energy collide in South Texas. Michael, this is really pretty funny because this is a weird story. And increased water drawn solely from the Nueces River system could dramatically increase the potential for scarcity, wrote Corpus Christi's Director of Intergovernmental Relations, Ryan, I'm going to butcher his name, and I apologize, Skarabartek, I'm not sure what that was, March 1st memo to the state lawmakers and it first reported the Corpus Christi Caller Times. A new large volume of user Nueces River will require extensive and exact monitoring to avoid increased drought. all this is over renewable hydrogen. And hydrogen, as you and I have talked, is not easily transported. So they're going to convert it to ammonia, which requires a lot more energy. So hydrogen requires a lot of water and a lot of energy. And then you got to have more energy in order to turn it into ammonia so you can transport it. And that's a whole different set of infrastructure. Unbelievable. In the future, hydrogen will be used to replace diesel, said Joel Powell, director of the Energy Transition Institute at the University of Houston and a former chief scientist at Shell. They probably ran him out. I'll see that as a good jobs transition. I just don't see it, Mike. I just think it's pretty funny.
Yeah, it comes down to what we talked about last week with ChatGPT. Every time you type in a little phrase, boom, 50 milliliters of water, gone. So as we transition, quote unquote, into a clean fossil fuel future, what happens with water? I mean, I think it's been on the back burner. No one's talking about water. California's had a unusual higher rainfall. So I think there we aren't really talking about it. But just 5 years ago, everybody was on water, 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 water. So what does that mean? Does that mean that the water supply is now fixed? No, it fluctuates yearly. But moving to this type of technology, specifically with this hydrogen, is a little weird, Stu. I mean, letting them take the last available water supply from the South Texas region, not good.
No, and listen to this quote. This is from Corpus Christi City Council City Manager Peter Zioni warned that the Aviana project could increase water prices to all city users. Quote, the loss of millions of gallons of water a day will have an impact on our water supplies. To backfill that will potentially result in rate impacts to all Corpus Christi water customers, Ione wrote. That's terrible.
Yeah, and local residents are now under water use restrictions. So again, it's you taking it in the drive-thru, folks.
Yeah, wasn't Die Hard. It was Lethal Weapon.
Yeah, and never seen him, but we will.
All right, you're millennial. I forgot. Sorry.
No problem. What else you got?
That's it for me, man. Let's get off the finance here.
All right. Well, we'll do that in a bit. But first, we got to pay the bills, guys. As always, the news and analysis you just heard is brought to you by the world's greatest website, www.energynewsbeat.com, the best place for all your energy and oil and gas news. Stu and the team do a tremendous job making sure that website stays up to speed. Everything you need to know to be the tip of the spear when it comes to the energy and the oil and gas business. Check out the description below for all of links to the articles, timestamps if you're listening to us on Spotify or YouTube, so that you can go ahead and jump ahead and or back and listen to other segments that you want. You can also check out, again, all those links to the articles. Check out dashboard.energynewsbeat.com, the best place for all your data and energy news combo. Got some cool stuff coming out for that. As always, guys, www.energynewsbeat.com. It's pretty interesting day this week, Stu. I mean, we saw on Friday, we saw the S&P 500 and the NASDAQ get pounded, mainly due to the fact that CPI numbers from earlier this week came out and just absolutely sort of obliterated what any good momentum the market had going forward. You know, with that higher inflation data, there's probably a chance we see fewer U.S. rate cuts, which means the economy will continue to stagnate, rates will be high. You know, in terms of what happened on Friday for oil prices, we actually saw a 1% increase, mainly off the back of what was announced on Friday, was what Iran was preparing for an attack, which ended up happening this weekend. We also saw our favorite organization, the International Energy Administration, cut their 2024 demand growth view, which is absolutely interesting considering some of the stuff that we've been talking about here. But the IEA goes ahead and does that. But again, it doesn't have much to do with where prices went as we saw this. You know, we saw president of Lipow Oil Associates, Andrew Lipow. He said in a Reuters article, the main focus is on whether Iran will retaliate against Israel. The answer is yes. The question is, I think now is markets about to open here in an hour or so. Stu, I think the question now becomes, where do prices go from here? I think we're going to see a mixed reaction on prices. I don't expect oil to be trading at $90 WTI by the time this opens. Currently, we have oil prices sitting at $65.66, Brent oil at $90.45. Do I expect, you know, a $5 increase in the price of oil? No. I think it's going to depend on what happens, I think, in the overnight session based upon where do traders feel like Israel will do in response and whether or not this could be a sustained. I mean, I don't think anybody knows. It's an extremely fluid situation.
The only fluid part of this, in my opinion, is going to be the Houthis and the Blowfish, so to speak, in Somali pirates in the Red Sea, because they the Iranians did capture another cargo ship. Mm-hmm. So how much of it? People are already got used to not or to going around on all these kinds of things. But there are some additional sanctions going on to Russia in critical minerals, and the Biden administration is pretending to be tough on Russia. So all of that mixed in behind the scenes is what I'm trying to watch for. Sorry.
Yeah, it's going to be crazy. And luckily, Stu will keep us up. You know, next to cover is rig count. I mean, just again, surprising U.S. drilling activity continues to drop off. That's the title of the article on Newsbeat. You know, total rig count fell by 3 week over week to 217. That's compared to 751 rigs at the same time last year. This is all according to Baker Hughes. The number of oil rigs actually fell by 2. Natural gas rigs fell by 1. Oil rigs sit at 506, which was down 84 rigs relative to where we were last year. We also saw crude production stayed at the same level for the fifth straight week. Frac count spread, which is something that measures the amount of completion crews that are completing wells that are unfinished, fell for the third week in a row to 257, which is down 30 from the same time last year. So people are continuing to complete some of these rigs. Specifically, the Permian saw one rig decrease after rising the week before. The Eagleford also dropped a rig. As rigs drop, prices will go up because production theoretically will go down. But, you know, as prices continue to rise, we will start to see rig count catch back up with this higher oil price environment, no doubt. So I think it's going to be interesting to see in the next 3 weeks where rig counts come in. I'd expect to see, you know, 5 to 10 rigs get added here over the next 4 weeks. But it'll be interesting to see specifically where those rigs are, whether it's onshore Permian or specifically maybe some offshore stuff. But very interesting on what's going on with rig counts. You know, the two more articles I wanted to cover, Stu. First off, oil and gas companies must pay more to drill on federal lands under new Biden administration rule. This is a kind of a whopper that dropped on Friday out of the AP. Mainly, you know, headlines read oil and gas companies will have to pay more to drill on federal lands and satisfy stronger requirements to clean up old or abandoned wells under a final rule issued by the Biden administration. The Interior Department went ahead and raised royalty rates for oil drilling by more than 33% to 16.67% in accordance with some rules that were passed in 2022 by Congress. If you're familiar with specifically, if you've done a lot of work in New Mexico, you know that federal leasing is about 12.5% for federal drilling rights. That had been that way for over 100 years. The other thing that they did was increase the minimum leasing bond paid by energy companies to $150,000 as compared with $10,000, which had been established more than 60 years ago. This is off the back of some provisions that are already being forced on an interim basis based upon the Inflation Reduction Act, or as Stu likes to call the Porculus Bill. That's the Infrastructure Bill. Well, there also are some provisions that the Inflation Reduction Act is the Inflation Increasing Act, as we've talked about this at all. You know, the new royalty rate is set and expected to remain in place until 2023, after which it can be increased. Basically, this could, based upon the Department of Interior estimates, this could account for about a $1.8 billion increase in federal funding. That's according to the Interior Department. You know, here's my thing. I actually don't have a problem with either of these in between me and you, Stu. I think what I'm more concerned about is that they're not allowing people to bid on these leases. I actually think $10,000 bond per lease is woefully inadequate to cover, all of your, I mean, to be a bonded operator in the state of Texas, it's $25,000, $30,000. Yet the feds are only charging $10,000 per lease. And where, again, where this bond comes in is to clean up orphaned or abandoned wells, which then get added to the orphaned and abandoned list and then end up sucking more money out because we have to go past the Inflation Reduction Act, which gives us a lot of money to clean them up. So I'm totally okay with the increase in the bond. And I'm actually okay with the increase in the royalty rate because most every other operator is already paying 25% as a base on non-federal land. So I think the feds had some room to play with in here. Now, the only thing I'd push back on is, you know, clearly they're not going to spend the money in the right way. It's not like this money is going to go to the education system. It's not like, you know, that's why I'm in favor of I'm not against, you know, the amount of taxes that are laid upon non-federal land when you talk about ad valorem production, because all that money, state money going back into the education system. Do I trust the feds to actually spend this new increase in royalty rates responsibly? No, I don't. But we got to do something. We're $3 trillion in the hole somewhere. We got hopefully try to do something here. So I do think this is an increase that maybe should have been talked about a lot more. It really came down quick as they did it on Friday. I don't think people were expecting this, but I'm going to take the opposite opinions too. I'm not totally against any of this. And it's just going to, again, as oil prices continue to rise, companies will be able to handle this. It's when prices get low that they're starting to look at this and say, maybe we don't want federal land. I'm more mad that they won't lease this acreage to us. That's the big key. Make it 100% royalty. You're not even leasing it to us.
There's a sister article on energynewsbeat.com. The Biden administration plans sweeping effort to block oil and gas exploration in Alaska on the North Slope. The U.S. set aside 23 million acres of the North Slope to serve as emergency oil supply a century ago. Now Joe Biden's moving to block it.
He should be able to drill. I mean, unlocking places. If we really want energy independence, if we really want energy freedom and energy security, we should be attacking all forms of specifically oil and gas right now, considering where prices are. You want to really lower prices and help, you know, Saudi and Russia, OPEC's putting the short squeeze on Biden. They're doing that, driving prices. We saw OPEC confirmed that they're not going to that they're going to continue to cut. We saw Kazakhstan. I think it was it Kazakhstan came out and said they're sorry we overproduced. We're cutting a little bit more. They're tightening the gears on the Biden administration, trying to drive prices up. So what's the only way to get more to drive prices down? Get more oil. So doing things exactly like what Stu's talking about, you know, blocking off developing in the North Slope, not making federal leases available, does way more to hurt our total oil production and overall energy security than raising royalty rates by 4%.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. You know, the U.S. being the largest oil producer now, that's the only thing that is driving the prices being at least held in check. And if the Biden administration would understand actually, finance, they would understand that they would, if they turned us loose, the prices would go down to the consumers and they would say, yay, look how good we are.
No, absolutely. Thing I've got for us, Stu, is this is an interesting little nugget that was dropped by World Oil on Thursday, and I think it really went underreported. Abu Dhabi National Oil Company considered acquiring BP following major purchases by IOCs like Exxon and Chevron. All it says is Reuters reports that the Abu Dhabi National Oil Company, which is the UAE's state-owned oil and gas company, previously inquired about purchasing British Petroleum. Interesting. Well, because this is so BP's a UK company, they have a US subsidiary, BPX. I don't think either the United States or Britain would allow the UAE to purchase one of their companies.
I think our current administration would.
So you think our current administration would allow UAE to really? They're blocking all current mergers. We've seen Chesapeake and Southwestern get kicked back. Pioneer and Exxon haven't closed it. You really think in light of all the TikTok noise that's going on with the divestiture of TikTok, you would actually think they'd let the UAE come in and purchase? If anything, I think Trump would do.
Nope. I think Trump would not do it. But I'll tell you, all you have to do is watch who goes and visits them in the UAE. Just like all the politicians that show up, Randy Weingartner and all the other folks, anybody that shows up in the Ukraine and comes back with millions of dollars, I have a feeling that you would see the same thing. The lobbyists would be making some very big headway into the politicians, and they would let it go through.
Yeah, I think we're going to have to disagree or agree to disagree on this one. I have a feeling that the current administration would not let this happen. And I wouldn't want this to happen either. I wouldn't want the UAE to actually come in and control BPX, which is one of the larger onshore players in the United States. Britain would allow it either. So
let me defend two things. Japan has bought all the way up the food chain to ship.
But it hasn't gone through yet. Hey, the U.S. steel. Japan's now, steel worker
would you
is still
let
pending.
Me finish? They did buy. We had Total Energies buy all these natural gas plants, power plants, and yeah, French company. Then you also have Japan buying the natural gas EMP companies to supply their LNG export. So they've bought the whole food chain all the way from the pad all the way through to the LNG. That has already happened. So,
that's wildly different than the UAE. Those are allies. The French
Japan is
allies. The UAE isn't an ally of ours. They're an OPEC.
I guarantee you, I vote yes that it may happen according to the current one. Let's wait and see.
No, I mean, I don't think the Abu Dhabi National Oil Company could actually go through with a purchase or a merger of BP, whether it was the British overarching company or any acquisition of BPX. But I think it's interesting that they leaked to the Reuters that they actually looked at doing this, which means there was at least some small squiver of conversation. Somebody approved somebody leaking this to Reuters. That's what I always find interesting.
Well, it depends on which side of the UK government is in charge. And you have several government members in the United States that are very pro Middle East because they're from there. So it's the same thing. There is a new chunk of legislators in the UK that are from other countries. So
you're right. Maybe it's UK not would allow it, but I guarantee we wouldn't. That BPX would not be included in that purchase. That's my bet. That's my guess.
Okay. Well, you and I got a dollar bet on this bet, Doug.
Awesome. What else are people be worried about this weekend besides potential World War III?
Well, I'll tell you what, Michael, I do not know how pricing for oil is going to go. Demand is going up. The IEA has been caught again falsifying numbers. They have been come out. There is a whole new catch of the climate activists that mishandle the data again. That's coming out. I've got a story coming out on it. They are actually manipulating the data to say that it's higher, and the IEA is backing it up. And so they're manipulating the sensor. So what I'm trying to say is I don't know where the oil prices is going. And hang on, because there's going to be some more IEA falsification of their data coming around the corner.
You heard it here second, folks. Well, we appreciate everybody checking us out. It's a gorgeous week down here in Texas. We hope everybody gets outside. We appreciate everybody checking us out. But we're going to go ahead and let you get out of here, get back to work, start your Monday. We appreciate it. As always, guys, www.energynewsbeat.com. We'll see you tomorrow, folks.